Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to The Curious Clinicians, a medical podcast that asks why. I'm Avi Cooper, and I'm joined, as always, by Hannah Abrams and Tony Brew. This is a momentous episode. It's not really momentous. It's not that big of a deal. But I was going to say this is the first time that we're actually recording. We're always on video, but it's the first time we're capturing video. This is an interesting experience for us.
Yeah. And this is a momentous episode to do it for. This was one of Tony's very first tutorials way back in the day.
Yeah, that is definitely true. This is one of the ones I was like, oh my gosh, people read these things. Oh, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I remember this blowing up and being really impressed with your ability to capture people's imagination and spark curiosity, Tony. So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about aquagenic wrinkling, which, first of all, that is just a really cool title. But the medical term for this is the medical term for fingertip wrinkling that most of us experience after being in the bath or swimming, any kind of sort of prolonged aquatic exposure. So Tony, way back when you first started looking at this topic, what made you want to learn more about it and explain it?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the perfect example of something that one of my kids asked me for which I had no immediate answer. I mean, they've asked me probably hundreds of things in the 8 years I've had kids for which I've had no immediate answer, but this is certainly one of them. And in this case, it was actually, as you guys have already alluded to, back in 2018 when I first started writing tutorials. And it was then that at that time, 3-year-old daughter Hayden was sort of just getting out of the bath. And she asked me, hey, daddy, putting up her hand, like, why do my fingertips wrinkle when I take a bath? And if you had asked me that question just a few months earlier, I probably would have been like, oh, I don't know, and kind of moved on with the drying and clothing phase of the evening chores, the sort of post-bath ritual. But she happened to have asked me like just after or just a month after my first tutorial. And I was kind of experiencing this initial high of, wow, there's something about posting this stuff on Twitter. And I really immediately wanted to look up the answer and share it on Twitter as I had done over the prior month. Now, I still got my daughter dried and clothed, but you'll be happy to know that she's not still standing in the
she's still there shivering.
Five years later. But as soon as I did that, I moved to my computer and I found an answer. And I'll be honest, I was surprised by the answer, fascinated by the answer. And I'll be honest, also astonished that there was clinical relevance. So it was this perfect nexus, like, hey, daddy, what's going on with my fingertips? But there was something to it. But I think before we even dive into that, I just want to confirm that my daughter is not alone, that I'm not alone. Like, this is true for the two of you. If you guys bathe yourself or go for a swim, your fingertips also wrinkle. Is that true?
I would say so, okay. Yeah.
So you're giving a thumbs up, Hannah.
Yeah.
I've never really checked my toes, but I assume
it's funny. I remember as a kid, like, getting out of the bath and seeing that and wondering why it happened and, wasn't in a position to have the question answered so quickly. But I do remember wondering about it. So yeah, looking forward.
I've told my daughter the answer. She doesn't care.
She didn't care.
I mean, she cared, but she's like, but she, it's funny. As we'll talk to her by the end, she was like, no, but why do they wrinkle? Like, what is it getting me?
Okay, well, we care, Tony. Yeah. We're very excited to learn why. Yeah. I would say, so if I were to summarize how I generally perceive this phenomenon, it's that after maybe like 15 to 30 minutes of water immersion, your fingertips and your toes get this appearance of a prune or like a raisin. And I, too, have never actually known what was going on there before you talked about this. I always thought maybe you're getting like dehydrated. Is that not what's going on?
I mean, they look dehydrated, like a prune or a raisin. And so I thought exactly the same thing, that there was something about that immersion that paradoxically was leading to dehydration of the fingertips. But you know, if you think about it for just a few minutes, you realize that that actually can't really be the case. Because if you remember that when you put yourself into a bath, or, and obviously most importantly, your hands and your fingertips into a bath, you're submerging them into a hypotonic fluid, right? So our plasma osmolarity is about 280 to 290 milliosms per liter. And the osmolarity of water is close to zero. And that's true, you know, even for areas that have hard water like I do, like we have really, really hard water, but it's still pretty darn close to zero. So, you know, we're putting our hands into hypotonic fluid. So it doesn't actually make sense that it would dehydrate.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anything, water should be flowing into the submerged fingertip, right? From sort of less to more osmolar inside your body. And therefore, like they should get not wrinkled, but swollen, right?
That's exactly right. So, and this is what does happen. Water enters the fingers after submersion in a hypotonic fluid, like a bath, and there is in fact some swelling.
So I guess if you were to extend that logic, if you were to take, you know, the sort of tonicity osmolarity of a solution and increase it, does that mean that you'll wrinkle less?
That is exactly what you'll find. And this is, if you can believe it, has been studied. So there was a 2005 Journal of Hand Surgery study that looked at 14 patients, so 28 total hands. And they took these 28 hands and submerged them in solutions of varying tonicity. And so when they put the hands in distilled water, the time to wrinkling was just under 12 minutes. So that comports with, you know, Hannah's like 10, 15, 20 minutes, right? So it took about 12 minutes in distilled water. When they put the hands in 10% saline, which has about an osmolarity of 1700 milliosms per liter, it took 30 minutes or so to wrinkle. And with 20% saline, they actually saw no wrinkling even after submersion for over an hour. And to sort of put some of these values into context, the ocean has an osmolarity of about 1,000 milliosms per liter, which actually suggests that one's hands should wrinkle less after swimming in the ocean for an hour than, say, taking a bath for an hour. And I haven't had an opportunity to like test out that theory because I'm not a big fan of swimming in the ocean, but maybe one of the listeners can confirm that's the case.
Yeah, fantastic. An N equals 140 study of 140 fingers.
Right.
So I guess the question is, how is the water getting in? And then maybe we can talk about why it looks not like we might expect when it swells.
Yeah, because they're not looking like these big plump things, right? We talked about the fact that they look like prunes. But the water is getting in most likely through sweat glands, through the sweat glands that are in the hands, but most importantly for our purposes in the fingertips. And it turns out, as I think many of us know, based on personal experience, you know, sweat glands are highly concentrated in the hands. And so it's not surprising if that's the first step in the wrinkling that the wrinkling occurs commonly there. You need the fluid to go in, a lot of sweat glands in that area.
Okay, so Tony, just real quick. So you're saying that we do have, so obviously we wrinkle, we know that, but we have wrinkling and simultaneously water is getting in. So that's where we are so far.
That's correct.
Okay, which is counterintuitive.
That's right. That's right.
So what else is going on?
Right, because, you know, they don't look swollen. And if anything, it's also not uniform. So there does have to be something else going on here. Okay, so we've established step one, water goes in. And we've also established there's got to be more to it. And what's remarkable about this phenomenon is that it's been studied for nearly 100 years, which, you know, I kind of find crazy. And one of the major clues as to the key mechanistic sort of underpinning of this actually came out in 1936 when Thomas Lewis and George Pickering published their observations that the skin innervated by a palsied median nerve did not wrinkle. Right, so they had a patient who had a median nerve palsy, and that patient's fingertips did not wrinkle in the hand that had the median nerve injury. And so this suggested to Lewis and Pickering that the phenomena wasn't simply about water flow, but also involved the nervous system.
So it sounds like peripheral nerve activation, right? So if the median nerve, if you needed an active working functional median nerve to have wrinkling of the, you know, of those dermatomes, that suggests that really this is a neurologic phenomenon.
That's right.
In the setting of immersion in water. So it sounds like that nerve activation is really, you know, key to this. So what is making these nerves fire?
Yeah, so this has been looked at by a few different authors, and one study published in 2003 in Muscle and Nerve probably is the one that provides the best answer. And so the authors of this study investigated changes in ulnar and digital artery blood flow velocity in healthy subjects before and during aquagenic wrinkling. So like, what is the blood flow velocity before the fingers are wrinkled and when they're actually wrinkled? And what they found is that after submersion and wrinkling, there was a significant reduction in blood flow velocity in all the vessels. And so you put your hand in the water, they wrinkle, the blood flow velocity has decreased. And they reported in the study that this was the result of vasoconstriction. And that makes sense, right? You know, if there's decreased velocity, it's probably due to vasoconstriction and a reduction in the blood flow.
Okay, so what we know so far is that water is entering via sweat glands and there is vasoconstriction. How does water entry or does water entry lead to vasoconstriction?
Yeah, so there's going to be a little bit of wrinkled hand waving here, so bear with me. But as best we understand it, you know, when water enters the fingertips, this leads to changes in electrolyte concentrations, and this in turn leads to decrease in membrane stability. As a result of all of this, right, electrolyte abnormalities, decrease in membrane stability, there's an increase in nerve firing, and that increase in nerve firing ultimately leads to vasoconstriction, and specifically the vasoconstriction that was seen in that 2003 study. So all of the details haven't really been worked out, because you can imagine, you know, there aren't hundreds of researchers working on this phenomenon, but that's kind of the best we have.
So it sounds like, just to make sure I'm understanding this, we've got a situation where you have prolonged immersion in hypotonic fluid, water. That water then flows through sweat glands into the skin, which causes electrolyte concentration shifts, which then leads to nerve activation, vasoconstriction. So, okay, that all makes sense, but I still don't understand. Where's the wrinkling?
I know, right? Right. Like, okay, that's great. Vasoconstriction, but where's the wrinkling?
Right, right. Because okay. I mean, it's going to happen all over, right? I mean, it should be a homogenous thing. Why are you getting wrinkling?
Okay, so we're there. But to understand the there that we're at, you have to understand just a couple key facts about fingertip anatomy. So first, some areas of the epidermis are anchored to the dermis. And this results in sort of varying skin tautness, where the areas that are being anchored are more taut. And that's not uniform. Second, the distal digital pulp has a high concentration of blood vessels and many AV shunts. And these are surrounded by connective tissue. Right? These AV shunts are actually known as glomus bodies. Now, when the glomus bodies lose volume through vasoconstriction, there's actually this negative pulp pressure that's generated. And this results in a downward pull on the overlying skin. But because this dermal anchoring is not uniform in the fingertips, there's variable pull. So there's going to be pull over here from one glomus body and pull over here in another glomus body. But this maybe one in the middle, there isn't actually any pull. And that lack of uniform pulling down leads to the appearance of a wrinkle. Does that make sense?
We're there.
I think we're there.
All the way from water entering to aberrant electrolyte physiology leading to nerve firing, leading to vasoconstriction, leading to wrinkles.
Yeah, because it's not pulling down the entirety of the fingertip. It's pulling down in this, you know, non-uniform way more in the areas that are connected from the dermis to the epidermis. That pull down. That's right. Right. That's right.
You know, I have never looked to see if my finger wrinkles the same way every time, but it must.
Oh, that's,
because
yeah, yeah.
Your dermis is connected, right? Like the connection is always at the same spots.
Yeah, I mean, is like the fingertip wrinkling pattern synonymous with your fingerprint? I mean, it's not going to be the same, but like, you know, is Hannah's fingertip wrinkling pattern different from Avi's, different from Tony's?
All right. I know what I'm doing later. All right. but Tony, you did mention, other than our homegrown experiments here, that there might be some clinical relevance to this. And then you also mentioned that the original 1936 description was someone who had a median nerve palsy and their fingertip didn't wrinkle. Is the idea that this could be clinically relevant as a test of peripheral nerve function?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's been described and suggested by a number of different authors who say, you know, if you've got a patient who you're worried about a peripheral neuropathy, you can just put that patient's hands in water for 20 minutes and see if the fingertips wrinkle. And if they don't wrinkle, that strongly suggests that, among other things, they may have an issue with peripheral nerve leading to those fingertips. And in particular, this has been shown in patients with small fiber neuropathy, for example, in diabetes. They will often have a reduction in fingertip wrinkling. And you'll see it, like sometimes, you know, one hand has it more than the other because one hand's more involved than the other hand, which is, I don't know, I find that fascinating. Full disclosure, I haven't on rounds like carried a jug of water and been like, you know, let's test this at the bedside. I do physical diagnosis rounds with the medical student, and I guess that would be one way to impress the students. Be like, okay, guys, we're gonna do aquagenic wrinkling today on rounds.
You do wonder,
it's like not the JVP.
Also, you do wonder how it would perform against something like a monofilament test, right? Where
I know, right? You know, yeah,
it's the length of a primary care visit, 20 minutes. Yeah. Like that's get the patient roomed, get the water bucket going.
I feel like we're gonna need to start carrying around, you know, some stopwatches and stuff. But you know, I, Tony, I do feel obligated to ask a you know, we love teleology on this show, sort of the ultimate whys as to why our bodies are designed the way they are. You know, why do our fingertips wrinkle? Like, is there some sort of benefit? Was this an adaptive feature that our ancestors evolved to have?
Well, yeah, I mean, as you can imagine, there are hypotheses, but you know, none of them are provable. But I did come across one experiment that was fascinating, so I'll share it with you guys. And it suggested that aquagenic wrinkling offers improved grip efficiency when handling wet objects. Okay, so improved grip efficiency when handling wet objects. The study described a really clever experiment that was published in 2021 in PLOS One. And it was a single author study. The author was Nick Davis. And he had more than 500 participants grip an object between their thumb and their pointer finger. Okay, so they had gripped an object between the thumb and their pointer finger. And then they were asked to lift the object vertically. Okay, and the amount of grip force needed to lift the object was recorded. So obviously you got to put some lateral force onto that object if you're going to lift it. And it was shaped kind of like a quarter. So you can imagine a weighted quarter that they've got their fingers on and they're trying to lift it. And they recorded the grip force under three, or he really recorded the grip force under three experimental circumstances. One was with dry fingers. Two was with fingers that had been briefly submerged in water and were therefore wet but not wrinkled. And third, with fingers that had been submerged in water until they were visibly wrinkled, right? So dry, wet but not wrinkled, wet and wrinkled.
And what did they find?
Well, this is all Dr. Davis. This is what he does in his spare time. Yeah. Dr. Davis, he reported that when compared with dry fingers, wet but unwrinkled fingers needed significantly more grip force to lift the object, right? Like it was like slipping because they were wet. So, they needed to press more. The wrinkled fingers, and this is the key, the wrinkled fingers required a grip force that was much closer to what was seen with dry fingers. All right. It didn't quite match. They still needed a little bit more force than the dry fingers, but much less force than with the wet but unwrinkled fingers. And so as you can imagine, you know, Dr. Davis hypothesizes that aquagenic wrinkling may have been developed as an adaptation to aid locomotion and foraging in wet environments. Like you're trying to grab onto things, you know, out in your foraging world, and things would slip if not for these wrinkled fingers. That is the hypothesis.
So do chimpanzees wrinkle?
Yes. So yeah, other primates, as best I understand, experience aquagenic wrinkling. This is not something that developed, you know, just in the last 10,000 years with Homo sapiens. I believe that's the case.
Yeah, I guess it sort of makes sense, right? It's like
I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical.
Yeah. Well, who knows if it's that purpose was how we ended up with it, but it sort of does make sense that it would help with grip because it's like traction, right? I mean, it's.
Well, that's the thing is when Dr. Davis, when his article is published, a lot of the lay press would liken it to threads on a tire and the traction that is achieved with that.
Wow. We went from bath time to the root of chimpanzee foraging.
It's just another episode of the Curious Clinicians.
I did want to bring up, I had seen a cool paper, which it just proves the point that there's like this nerve mechanism that's involved, where they did this in Hansen's disease, which is leprosy or infection with Mycobacteria leprae, which also infiltrates peripheral nerves, especially in the arms. And they compared finger wrinkling in patients who were a year out from infection with Mycobacterium leprae versus controls. And they found that 32 of 38 patients with history of Hansen's disease could not wrinkle their fingertips. So another sort of nerve-related clinical correlation.
And they can't hold on to that paper. It just slips right out of their hand.
Yeah, they should rename it Hansen's disease, I suppose.
Oh. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, on that note, now everyone who watches the video will be able to see us cringing. Tony, do you have any take-home points for us?
Yes, I do. So first, aquagenic wrinkling starts with the movement of water across sweat glands and into fingertips. Next, or two, this leads to sympathetic-mediated vasoconstriction within the dermal pulp of the fingertips. Three, when the overlying skin is pulled down in an irregular manner, you know, you see the wrinkling. And four, whether the increased wrinkling actually increases grip efficiency is less clear, but it's been suggested that this explains why it may have developed in our ancestors.
Amazing. Amazing. Definitely improved our grip of the material. So thank you, Tony. Before we go to the outro, as we mentioned at the outset, this is the first attempt that we have made at recording ourselves with video. But check us out. We'll link to that post on YouTube in the show notes. So that wraps up another episode of The Curious Clinicians. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Claire Morgan of NotEarly.com is our audio editor, and Giancarlo Perdomo is our producer. You can join our mailing list at CuriousClinicians.com to stay up to date on episode releases and have detailed notes delivered directly to your inbox. You can subscribe to our Substack at TheCuriousClinicians.substack.com. Physicians and other healthcare professionals can earn CME and MOC credits from VCU Health just for listening to the episode. For more information, visit ce.vcuhealth.org/CuriousClinicians. And as always, the information contained in this episode is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. Until next time, we've been The Curious Clinicians.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.